inside of me, standing as one, one.
Hello, all you beautiful spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for our weekly show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We focus here on personal and spiritual growth, on spirituality rather than religion. And we explore ways to actually reclaim the connection and the communication with our own higher selves, with our own inner divinity, and with the power that comes through that connection. Each week I share with you workable, proven methods for experiencing greater peace, greater love, joy, and connection, and how to remove those internal, usually unconscious, obstacles that have actually blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. I believe that it is our God-given birthright to experience inner joy, peace, and unconditional love, to actually feel whole in body, in mind, and in spirit. And if that's what you want, then you're in the right place. And I hope that you and all of your friends join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in this wild and crazy life I've lived about being happier, healthier, and more at peace inside. And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being. And that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing. We can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it Great Spirit, or unconditional love, or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart and mine and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. And it's just my name, LuisaDyer.com, LuisaDyer.net, and also TheWowProcess.com. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area. And today we have a really special treat. We're going to be talking to a woman by the name of Lauren Lane Powell today, who is going to tell us her story of healing from cancer and using music to help her do that. She has a beautiful story, and I think it's going to be inspiring to everybody. So I hope you stick around to hear that. Thank you very much for listening and for being here with me every week as we look at all the different ways there are for us to tap into that inner spark of life that is inside each and every one of us. That divine spark, you can call that God, you can call that Holy Spirit, you can call that divine life, you can call it anything you want to, but it is life. I think of that as divine. I think of that as God. Some people can't use the word God, and that's okay. You can think of it as, you know, your higher self or Great Spirit, whatever works for you. It doesn't matter what you call it. It only matters that you begin to even consider that it could possibly be inside of you, and it is powerful, and that you can call on it. And every teacher throughout time has told us the way to be in touch with that part of ourselves is to get quiet and listen for it, or to get quiet and take your energy into your own heart, because that's where that divine energy lives, is in the heart of every human. And I know that every human has that divine spark of life within them, because if you didn't, you would be what we call dead. You would not be walking, talking, breathing. It's like the minute that divine spark of life is no longer in you, then you are what we call dead. Getting in touch with that inner divinity is what we're all about on this show. And really getting rid of whatever has been blocking us from that and opening up to everything that can help us know that better. We have the special treat I was telling you about before. Lauren Lane Powell is on the line, and we're going to do an interview with her. And Lauren is someone who's used voice as a healing technique for many years. And then when she got cancer, she wound up using that same healing technique for herself. So we're going to hear about how she has done that, and hopefully we are going to be inspired to know how to work with ourselves so that at least we feel better while we're dealing with whatever it is we're dealing with. So, Lauren, are you there on the line?
I am. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I'm glad you're there. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share.
You are most welcome. So, you know, I think the best way is for you to just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you've been doing, because the story that I read about you is that you do this sound healing and you had cancer and somehow you used that for yourself. Can you just say a little bit about that journey?
Oh, absolutely. For the last 12 and a half years, I've been traveling around the country on tour full time, teaching other people how to use their own voice for healing, mm-hmm. not only for singing, which in and of itself is a very spiritual, uplifting, higher vibration activity, but speaking your truth is a whole lot more powerful and more possible using the full body that we sing with. And singing from the center of the body is very relaxing, which is inevitably very healing as well. So I've been teaching the world how to sing for 20-some-odd years. And when I found in April that I had ovarian cancer, not only did it throw me for a loop, because that's, of course, the power center from which I have been singing.
Wow.
But the first message I got was, you get to do it differently.
Mm. you get to do the healing differently?
Differently. I get to do cancer differently. Uh-huh. I get to change the way it looks and feels.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't mean avoiding modern medicine,
mm-hmm.
but using modern medicine in conjunction and recognizing that everyone who was working on and with me throughout this huge process have all been my angels.
Yeah.
And learning how to integrate everything at once, because something reminded me at the same time that 2 or 3 years ago, I may have tried to do this all by myself. I may have tried to use only my voice and my singing bowls and my knowledge of healing and all those wonderful spiritual techniques without the modern medicine. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would be smarter than that, but, you know, knowing where I was a couple of years ago, asking for help was what I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to really open up and trust has been the first inevitable lesson to allow spirit to work through the doctors as well.
Exactly.
So the first way in which I kind of was forced to use my music, quite frankly, was during chemo.
Mm.
And I called them chemo dreamo treatment. Because I was bound and determined to change the way they looked and felt too.
Yeah, chemo and dreamo. That's pretty powerful in and of itself.
Well, and as I went within and asked how, I heard, use your music. And, of course, I was in no shape to sing. My power muscles have been cut wide open and stuff had been taken out and all, you know, all sorts of stuff. But listening to the stuff I have written and some other people's as well, but the more meditational stuff, I was able to thank myself for giving their lives, the good ones, who are being killed alongside the bad ones with the chemo.
Mm.
And recognizing as a good friend and harpist, Amy Kamey, I want to give her credit, she's wonderful. Amy Kamey told me through her chemo experience that the word sacrifice means to be made sacred.
Wow.
So I was thanking and blessing the cells who were being made sacred, who were sacrificing their lives, and putting myself in this wonderful place of meditation just by listening to this music every single time I was getting those treatments,
mm-hmm.
which was once a week for 18 weeks.
18 weeks.
18 weeks.
Wow. That's a long series of chemo treatments.
And at the same time, it has been, in the blink of an eye, it's already over.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. I am in remission. It's like it never happened, but I chose to be very public with it all and started Facebooking immediately, and it's turning into a book.
Mm-hmm.
And going back and working on it, remembering in April how frightened I was you know, all that stuff, you know, comes up again at a different level to heal.
Right.
And it's just real interesting how it comes up in layers for me and my family.
Mm-hmm. So are you married? Do you have kids?
I am married with no kids. We do cats and dogs instead.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband has been my sole primary caretaker through all of this. He's now retired, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would have done without. So the timing was as perfect as imperfection could be. But, yeah, I know. I've pretty much worn him out. I'm very grateful now. Chemo's over, and my strength is coming back so I can start helping out.
Uh-huh. So you were diagnosed in April, and it sounds like you had all kinds of surgeries.
Well, I was diagnosed in April with ovarian cancer in Pensacola, Florida. I was on tour, and it took me a week to get home and to process all this information, and by the 19th, I was in surgery, of course, a complete hysterectomy, and in that process, the ovaries were both so swollen with the tumor, all my organs were moved around, and of course, I didn't know this. I thought I had just really bad indigestion since January, and they pried a, the doctors were absolutely wonderful, by the way, but they pried a infected ovary off of one of the bowels and ripped it.
Mm.
And didn't know it was so slight. But 3 days after I had been dismissed, I was helicoptered back over to Indianapolis because of the leakage. And I had peritonitis. It was all over. So another major surgery wound up with a colostomy. And then a month later, she tried to heal herself. So that was a third surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at number four to put her back in her place. So my question through all of this has consistently been, show me what I'm supposed to be doing with this, and then show me how.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hear all the time, which is the strangest thing, is have fun with it.
Have fun with it.
How in the hell do you have fun with cancer? Have fun with it. I said, you've got to be kidding me.
It sounds rather challenging.
Well, the very first thing that happened was as I spelled the word on Facebook or on paper or anything else, just the word itself had such a, you know, it's a big C. It has such a terrible vibration, and it's terminal, and it's, you know, it's a really scary word to even look at.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, how can I spell it differently? And immediately I thought of the word answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I write it now with answer, with a capital A, with a little bitty C before it.
Yeah, I noticed that in some of your correspondence.
It changes everything.
Uh-huh.
People are starting now to pronounce it even, C answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been my answer to all kinds of prayers that I didn't even realize I was praying.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I knew that after 12 and a half years of doing what I was doing and still not reaching as many people as I know I can reach,
mm-hmm.
I was just working harder, putting in more time, doing more workshops, doing more bookings, and instead of working smarter, I was working harder and praying for a change.
Oh.
But I wasn't willing. This is only for me now. This is my big lesson. I wasn't willing to slow down, let alone stop,
mm-hmm.
to reassess and do it differently. And Spirit said, okay, this is one way you're going to stop, and stop completely.
I imagine. Stop.
And now what are you going to do? And my other big prosperity lesson was, can you be satisfied with what you have now? And at the time, it was like, no, damn it, I can't pay my bills. I'm in debt. What's going on? I'm supposed to be processed, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And Spirit said, okay, can you be satisfied with less?
Hmm.
Hmm, is right.
How long did it take you to answer that?
Oh, gosh, it comes in layers.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
It still comes in layers. All this. The very first, I think, week that I had to process, and I was by myself, one of the meditations said very clearly that I have an opportunity to use every single one of the spiritual gifts I have ever learned in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to Unity and other New Thought churches in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a while.
So you knew all the things that were supposedly going to help, like all the positive new thought, Louise Hay, Unity, yeah.
Absolutely. And now I really had a chance with a rubber met the road to put it into action, every single one of them. And when I felt like I was back in my human self falling through the cracks, you know, something else would lift me up. When I was in that helicopter, I couldn't breathe. The infection had gotten so bad. I was having a hard time breathing, and I thought I was checking out. And I thought, okay, God, if you're ready, I can't be brave anymore. You know, just take me if it's my time. I can't be brave anymore. And I had to confess when I came back and knew that I wasn't dying. I had to come back and confess to my family that I couldn't be brave anymore. Mm. And I think it was my dad who was the first one to say, honey, let us be brave for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had become so blessedly, wonderfully, fearfully independent that asking for that kind of help and not being able to be brave and truly surrendering at that level was completely foreign to me.
I bet it's not anymore.
Well, and you know, and I surrendered at different levels before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I never knew the depth at which one could. Of course, it kept coming up. The more times I went into surgery and thinking, now what's going to happen? And now I'm looking at putting, I named my colostomy Lucy. Personalizer. Oh, Lucy, behave, for goodness sakes. Yeah, you behave.
Uh-huh. And so are you going to have that colostomy bag forever?
No, it's supposed to be reversed. Let me rephrase that. Not supposed to be. It shall be reversed very soon. I'm meeting with the doctor on Friday to talk about what it's going to entail.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, permanently, and with no complications.
There you go. You know, it's one thing to know something intellectually. It's another thing to actually embody it.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you've really had to, you know, I was an addict for 20 years and had to get clean, and I got clean off of everything except for marijuana. And when it came time to do that, I learned about surrender at a level I had never even imagined, because that was the hardest thing. And you're right. There's layers and layers and layers and layers of letting go. And nothing will force us to do that as quick as pain or facing death one way or the other, or both together, I can imagine. And it sounds like you've been in that place of just having to keep surrendering over and over. And the message was, have fun with that. So how did you have fun? Well, it sounds like one way you did was the whole idea of making sacred, changing, reframing sacrifice into making sacred. I love that.
Yeah.
But how did you have fun with all the surgeries and with the chemo? How did you actually do that?
Well, using the music first and foremost. When I knew I was going in for my very first surgery, I wrote a letter to my sister to share with the rest of my family, whoever was there in the hospital, that instead of sitting around worrying and talking about my procedure, they're supposed to sing.
Oh, great.
So I had them sing me through surgery. And they sang me through surgery 3 different times.
How marvelous.
They were sitting in the waiting room, you know, and they sang the whole time I was in surgery, which was my wish. But it changed things. It changed things drastically. It changed the way they were thinking and worrying about it. They couldn't stew on things. They couldn't be embroiled with the drama.
So you were you were actually changing the vibration of your environment.
Oh, absolutely.
Simply by asking that it be so.
Well, and the surgeon was playing my CD with Every Need Is Fulfilled on it.
During the surgery?
Yes.
Oh, God, that is fantastic.
The surgery was so long, she said it looped 3 times. But all the nurses knew the songs by the 3rd time they were all singing them.
Well, now, you know, that's called a win-win. So you're playing that so that they can help you, and undoubtedly them hearing that, by the time they got through, they knew it. I know that helped them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, so you were doing your work even when you were in surgery. I mean, your work of, you know, healing the world through music.
I was, and I didn't even think I was because I wasn't able to use my own voice. And that it really bothered me that what was the part of me that was less than perfect that was being taken care of was what made me sing. And I couldn't sing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But because everyone around me could, and because I had worked outside, you know, on tour for 12 and a half years, I had people all over the country singing for me.
Wonderful.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. It's great.
The truth is you really were using your voice. I mean, technology gave you that opportunity that even when you couldn't sing, it was still using your voice in that operating room while they were playing that CD.
Right.
Because they learned it. They probably wouldn't have learned it if you had just sung it to them once. But I would imagine hearing something over and over like that in a, you know, emotionally charged environment. And I bet you they still know those songs.
I bet so.
Well, you know, I have that song. I have a few of your songs that you sent me. Thank you very much. And one of them is called Every Need Is Fulfilled, which I just think is incredible. And I'm wondering if now would be a good time to play that.
I think it would be a perfect time to play
that. And is there anything you want to say about it before we put it on?
Well, the reason that that song and the songs on that particular CD came through was because I was looking for music that other people could sing more easily than the show tune type stuff that I had written. And that was the very first one that came through. And it basically covers every affirmation from health to wealth to illness to peace to knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of covers everything. And that's just the very first one that came through with that wish of writing things that other people could sing.
Uh-huh. Well, and it's incredibly powerful, I think, because it's so broad. That's what sort of blew my mind about it. When I listened to it, it's like, oh, you really do cover everything.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to play that for our listeners. For those of you who might just be joining us, you are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We are here every Wednesday, 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And we are talking today with Lauren Powell, who is an incredible music person in terms of writing songs and making music, and who has come through an incredible episode of cancer and is now in remission. And she is very clear that a lot of what has helped her change her mind and feel better about what's going on with her and possibly even be in remission is her music and changing the way she thinks about things. And this is a song that is part of, I would say, the premise or the basis for how she did that. She expresses it beautifully in this song called Every Need Is Fulfilled. So I'm going to play this now, and we'll be back in a moment.
Every need is fulfilled. I am rich. I am wealthy. Everything is provided for me. I am rich. I am wealthy. To time. I am wise, I am worthy.
Happy to send that to you. I have your email address. I will give you a PDF.
And is there somewhere where people can find your music if they want to hear it and listen to it?
I have a wonderful website called harmoniesofhealing.com.
Harmoniesofhealing.com. Okay, that's great. What a great name.
Thank you.
And on that website, can people actually listen to some stuff, or they can buy some stuff? How does that work?
There are pages with the CDs on there, and there are samples of the music as well as pages for the singing bowls and the other meditational instruments that I use.
Wonderful. So that was Harmonies of Healing?
Yes.
HarmoniesofHealing.com. You can find her music on there. You know, I am healed, I am happy, I am whole, I am healthy. That is just such, it sounds like every metaphysical principle that has been, you took it and made a song out of it.
And it takes on a whole new meaning when you're looking at a diagnosis that tells you otherwise.
Well, yeah. We wouldn't need affirmations otherwise, right?
Exactly. And then to surrender to the process, like, okay, God, you're on. What do you want me to do with this?
Right.
And, of course, part of it is not trying to over-spiritualize it, but allow myself to be as human as I need to be as well.
Yep.
So we spend a good amount of time going down the rabbit hole, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the scary what-ifs. Because we know if we didn't, it would be in our body somewhere.
Right. Well, and so in terms of going through the chemo and then recreating a healthy immune system after that, I'm imagining that you're using everything you know to do that as well.
Slowly, I am. The only side effect I had with the chemo, and I have a lot of intuition as to why this is so, was fatigue. I didn't get sick. I didn't, you know, have a lot of the different, I lost my hair, but all of the other side effects of getting sick and all that stuff just didn't happen, and I was so blessed.
Wow.
Part of it, I know, is because I was getting treatments every single week, and they were a little bit less in potency, but they never let me fully recover, so I was always kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's only been 3 weeks since my last chemo treatment, and I think the nutrition, now I'm starting to sing more, recognizing how the breathing is still important, and just really taking my time assessing what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I did love my past life so much, but again, knowing that it's probably not the healthiest thing on my body to be driving all over the country, and you know, but I loved it. I really did. So letting go of that is part of my grief work, for sure. and then saying, okay, God, now what would you have me do?
Mm-hmm.
And using, again, my music and my breathing to help me stay open to the suggestions.
Well, you know, and since you brought this up, I feel okay about asking you. You talked about how you sing, and you've taught people to sing from their center, and then you said you felt like that was exactly where the cancer showed up and where you've had all the surgery. So it makes me really wonder, when you sing and you breathe and you meditate now, do you still feel like you're doing it in your center? And if so, or if not, how has that sense of your center changed?
Well, it's interesting because there are, again, so many layers to that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of knowing that I was using my center and going through menopause and developing what I would consider a pooch for the first time in my life, really had a problem loving that. Even though I was using it, it was strong, it would be what I would notice in the mirror is imperfect.
So
I worked out, I prayed on it, I ate differently, I changed my lifestyle, I was healthy as I've ever been in my life, and when I reached my 50th birthday, 2 years after I started menopause, menopause was over, and I was down to my absolute perfect fit goal weight. I had done everything right, and that little pooch was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt I've reached the pinnacle. I am 50 years old. I didn't have to buy into anything anyone said about being middle-aged. Oh, my God, this is just so fantastic, and I really love my body. And then in April when I was diagnosed, it was as if Spirit said, can you love it now?
Wow.
Can you love it as it is?
Mm. That must have been so shocking.
It kind of still is. It's surreal. Again, it comes in layers because it's as if it's not me that this is happening to, because I've gotten good at being an observer, as Eckhart Tolle says, and trying to stay in the now and being the observer. It makes it a real interesting trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if someone else is going through this at the same time, I am inside this body doing this myself.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an interesting dichotomy and the flip side of the same coin, you know?
Well, and really that's what it means to be present until we reach some, you know, imagined state of enlightenment, is that we get to be human and we get to be present at the same time, which means we spend a whole lot of times watching ourselves, you know, being human.
Right, right.
Figuring out how to be okay with that.
Exactly, the humility of a colostomy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, now the humility of having to give myself my own shots in the stomach every day so my blood doesn't clot.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's so interesting.
Right. Well, you know, in a way, I'm not at all surprised that you did the chemo and you didn't have, you know, the really sick side effects that so many people have, probably because you insisted on chemo dreamo. You know, you insisted for yourself that, okay, I have to do this, but it doesn't mean I have to hate it. It doesn't mean I have to have a bad attitude. It doesn't mean I have to, you know, it's like I get to be human. I get to have my feelings. And then as soon as I can, then I'm going to think something positive.
Exactly, exactly. And how do I do it differently? Keep showing me, Sweet Spirit, how to do it differently. And the more I use my music, you know, the more I was able to relax and people around me relaxed and was able to share the music. I mean, it was just amazing. And one of the most interesting things that happened that I thought at the time was probably not going to be a very positive memory was, again, around Lucy. I had no idea I needed to bring more supplies that she could break free on her own. And in the middle of chemo, she came undone.
Oh, my.
And we were in the bathroom for 14 minutes waiting for the colostomy nurse to come from the other wing. And I remember I had lost so much weight then that my butt was so bony, sitting on the only seat in the bathroom, of course, being the toilet, was so uncomfortable, I had to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so weak, I couldn't stand up. And it was just one of these things. And then Lucy was just pooping and pooping and pooping. I mean, just a mess all over the bathroom. It was disastrous. And my mom was with me. And she said, honey, I changed your diapers. It's no big deal. And I said, but Mom, I'm 50 years old. This is degrading. This is humiliating. And all of a sudden, my mommy started singing.
Ugh.
Today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine. And I started singing harmony. And we sang the whole song. And everything changed.
Yeah. Oh, you know, hold that thought. Everything changed. That's what I want to leave people with. I have to do a station break here. And I want people to remember that line.
Everything changed.
You took support that your mother offered. And you added your power to it. And you found your power through it. And you and your mother singing, which it sounds like is an act of celebration. Regardless of whether that was true or not, it was definitely an act of receiving and at the same time giving, because to do harmony, you got to give.
Mm-hmm.
And everything changed. That's just, that's incredible. I want to come back and talk about that a little bit. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And we have this show every week to help us notice what's in the way of experiencing that divine spark of life that's inside of us and letting whatever's in the way go. But also we explore ways to actually tap into and increase our awareness of that inner divinity, because as Lauren was just telling us, when we do, everything changes. It just does. And it's hard sometimes to even put words on how that happens, because we don't know how it's going to change. We control nothing. We have absolute power in moment to moment to moment to moment, but we control nothing. And that's really hard, I think, for the ego to get, because it wants to control. It wants to make this stop, or it wants to make that happen. And we don't have any control, but we have amazing power. And that's what I'm really getting from this story that Lauren is sharing with us. I want to go back to that last thing that she said of everything changed. And I'm wondering, Lauren, if you could just talk about that a minute. What you mean by that, what it felt like, how it occurred, what you noticed before or after, anything at all that you want to say about everything changed.
Well, I call the new, I guess, workshop presentation that I choose to share now, Everything's a Gift. And where it is appropriate, I actually add, Holy shift, everything's a gift. Because the way things are shaping up in particularly 2012 for everyone I know personally, we are all going through monumental personal life changes that mimic the country's change, the dichotomy, the conflict between right and wrong, rich and poor, that's coming up to heal, is coming up so that perhaps as we go through our own healing, we're doing it so that other people don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that as soon as I was diagnosed that everything was going to change, and surrendering to I have absolutely no control now, and, you know, coming from a Virgo control freak, that's, you know, hard enough to admit it than to let sink in. And then the more into the journey I was, the less control I had. And it was like, this is just so interesting. I never knew, you know, how deep letting go of control is and still needs to be, because I find myself still trying to recreate my own life in my mind with my own imagery instead of allowing.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I allow, something falls into my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it over and over and over again. But my desire is to stay there more. Yeah, I mean, that's been my big lesson. I think that's all of our lessons, that we have no control. And at the same time, we create our own reality.
That's always the challenge. It's something I've been saying to myself, to clients, for 30 years since I first learned that I am responsible for what I experience, and I control nothing. And that makes my ego go running and screaming and want to rip its hair out and stomp up and down.
Exactly, because it makes no sense to the ego, but it makes perfect sense to the spirit.
Yes, yes, because there's the reality of reality. It's like everything affects everything else. And I can't control even my own thinking or feeling, much less anything else. However, that thing that you just said about you're in the bathroom in the middle of a humiliating, disgusting, terrifying experience, and you think, oh my God, what could be worse than this? And you're in a really bad place, totally natural, and your mom starts singing. And because you chose to start singing with her, everything shifted.
Mm-hmm.
If you had not, you would have probably been...
Oh, Mom, cut it out. Right.
Yeah, and so what could have shifted if you hadn't? That was my point.
Right.
Is you were willing to shift.
Right.
You were willing to take your attention from this dreadful, horrible, awful, embarrassing, humiliating thing that was going on. Even if it was, you weren't trying to ignore it or deny it. It was still going on. You were still in the middle of it. But you chose to suddenly put your attention on what your mom was singing enough to create harmony with her. And what do you mean by that statement, everything shifted? What changed when you did that?
Well, 2 minutes before that, my mom said, you know, in a year or so, we're going to be able to laugh at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost gave her a dirty look, and I said, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she started singing, all of a sudden, I knew that memory was going to be instantly sweet. And I'm still talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it changed the way everything felt, the whole vibration of everything. And I thought, you know, if that can be changed and shifted, so can everything else.
Right.
And show me how.
Right.
Show me how to feel good about fatigue. And what Spirit said was, go take a nap and relish in the fact that you have an opportunity to rest.
Mm-hmm.
So resting became part of a peace-filled, letting-go, trusting mantra meditation in and of itself.
And the truth is that you, regardless of what you were going through, had created the support through your husband, through your family, through your friends, through your music, through all the ways that you've had support through this process. You literally created all those levels of support. So it was one of the things I love in that song where it says something about, you know, not being alone. There was a line in there.
Yep, now you'll never be alone. Right.
I'll never be alone, right. I was like, oh, you created this support for yourself to where you absolutely have not had to go through this alone.
Well, and it's interesting you say that because since my initial launch off of spirituality, I literally did just that to heal my family of biology because there was such a vast split early on in the 70s when Mom and Dad divorced when I was 13 and going through the processes of recognizing that I'm responsible for everything and all of that carrying of that baggage was mine as well.
Mm.
That started to heal through my recognition of vocalizing that brought up tears from the bottom of the belly.
Wow.
And as I sang and I cried, I would ask, who does this represent? Oh, this is Dad again. You know, and so as I healed one layer at a time through sobbing, singing, and forgiveness work, my whole family literally has healed. And Dad and Mom and stepmom and my husband and my sister, were all there, all three surgeries.
Yeah.
We travel together now. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And we loved each other before all the surgeries, and this kind of solidified it and let me know, yep, the work is done. Yep, okay, you did a good job. Look how many people are here for you. And look how they love each other. And look how there's not a crossword. And look how the nurses are amazed to find out that my mom and dad, who've been spending day after day together, have been divorced for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it amazes me still. But that was also part of my healing, was the solidification of knowing that everything is okay and that my family is so incredibly healed and loving.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you don't know. It may be true that all the healing work and all the singing and all the teaching the world how to heal, you don't know. It may have been that you had been doing that for as long as you had to, just to create the support system that you've used this year.
Oh, gosh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I get there at a big, big level. And I know I would never have, you know, over 2,000 whatever friends on Facebook, most of which I actually know personally, if I hadn't been on the road for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of cool. So what I get from everybody else is, as much as I have given for 12 and a half years, I am now almost having to receive and allowing in from all the people I've ever given it to.
Mm-hmm.
That is very endearing and precious and empowering and humbling and,
right,
you know, all at the same time. You know, and then it brings up all of my old worthiness stuff and deserving and, you know, at a completely different level than I've ever gone.
Yeah.
You know, being absolutely helpless and having to receive that much love and prayer, you know, is really interesting, and I'm so grateful, and it makes me cry a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that seems to be part of my healing, too.
Well, I would imagine that you've gone through all of the normal human emotions around that, from anger and resentment all the way to feeling humiliated and then back again to gratitude. I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things for most any human, but especially those of us who have been independent and thought of ourselves as, you know, working in the world to help other people. When that shoe gets put on the other foot and we are in that place of needing or wanting that same thing, it's a whole different lesson we got to learn.
Well, it is on so many levels, on so many levels, especially, you know, you think you have arrived. I've learned so much and I'm able to share so much, and people are growing by leaps and bounds from what I get to share with them. And at the same time, it was my own dissatisfaction with where I was and where I thought I should be and where I knew I was going. And one of my friends told me, you know, you've always wanted to get your healing work into the hospitals. And I went, holy shift. She's right. Oh, my gosh. And how else could I talk to people who have gone through any kind of experience,
right,
if I weren't to go through it myself?
Right.
Which is why the other part of Holy Shift is everything's a gift.
Right, everything.
And when I'm able to stay in that state of meditation with my music and my voice, when I'm ready to use my own voice, I can see the big picture and see exactly why I'm where I am.
Right.
And now healing from cancer, knowing that I too went through the crap and the crud and the crying, but knowing how to do it possibly differently that I can now share with other people.
Right.
It doesn't have to look the same. Your family can sing you through surgery too. You know, this is what I did. This is what helped. You can do this as well.
Right. Well, you speak now from an authority that you didn't have before because of experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you knew I wanted this experience. One of my favorite ministers called me up early on after my diagnosis and said, hey, how come you did the fun transformative work?
How come what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
How come you get all the fun transformative stuff happening to you? That's not fair.
Oh, and did you smack them?
Well, no, I actually laughed because I thought, you know, this is going to be pretty transformative.
Yeah, you got that really quickly.
Sure did. I sure did. Well, and of course it makes you reassess everything. Mm-hmm. But again, being able to use my spiritual gifts, I was able to use that with, as you say in your radio show, with divinity.
Yeah.
Just divining it by staying still and listening, you know, with my music to help me stay still and listen.
Right.
Because my mind, of course, wants to run amok, and I want to blame myself for this, and what was I doing wrong, and oh my gosh, the work I've been doing all these years doesn't work, and you know, you go through all that stuff.
Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do. You know, it makes me think, earlier you said that you had been teaching the world how to heal for all these years, and that keeps resonating in my head, and I'm wondering if you consider this process that, okay, that's wonderful to teach the world how to heal, but there comes a point when we have to really do our own healing at a level we never imagined we even needed it. And so that's where you are. That's the level.
Well, and I guess part of my in and out of anger with that very idea is, you know, being on the road, being by myself, I was working on myself and my, I guess, self-realization through this wonderful work of purging and anger and singing and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I thought, how much more healing must I do?
Right.
And then with this, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
A whole different ballgame. And I can't really put my finger on it, but it's all attached. It's all the same, a deeper layer of the same stuff. Yes, you've been doing your work, and now you are graduating. This is what your work has prepared you for.
Exactly.
It's not like you have to do it over again or it's more work to do. You've been doing all of this work for this.
Right. Well, see, and that's where we have responsibility for what we experience, even though we have no control, is you have the power to reframe whatever it is like that. Instead of thinking, okay, how have I messed this up, and now this is my punishment because I was doing something wrong. It's like, sure, we can think that way. It's kind of common and normal to do that. Or you can reframe it and go, wow, everything that I did before was to prepare me so that I could do this. Wow, that's a very different understanding.
It really is.
Yeah.
And, of course, you go back and forth. I'm never fully one or the other. My ego still wants to creep in and say, okay, now, when did this start? What were you doing? What were you thinking? If you're responsible for everything, how did you create this? Yeah. And then, of course, it's like, no. I know the truth. I know, you know, I've arrived because I get to use all this stuff now and to put into practice. So, of course, both things can happen at the same time.
Right. Yeah. You know, you remind me of when I've done a lot of work with couples, one of the things I've noticed over the years is that when someone is in a relationship for the first time that is actually loving and safe.
Oh my goodness, I do apologize. We had a bit of a technical difficulty there, and the last 10 minutes of this interview was not recorded. I do apologize for that. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Lauren Powell. I certainly did, and I look forward to talking with her again sometime very soon. What a marvelous story she just told us. I will now take you into the rest of the program. Enjoy.
What a beautiful interview we just had with Lauren Jane Powell, who uses music and voice to heal. And for those of you who missed it, her website is harmoniesofhealing.com. She is in Bloomington, Indiana. And I just want to thank her so very much for her time today. That was an incredible talk, that an incredibly honest and revealing talk about just what it means to surrender and be willing to do what Spirit is asking you to do. I just really want to thank everybody for listening today. And what I loved most about talking to her was this attitude that she has of taking responsibility for her own experience while also giving up the illusion that she's in control of any of it. And I do believe that is one of the hardest things for the ego to even begin to understand, much less do. And I personally don't think the ego can do it. I think we can only do that from the spiritual part of ourselves, from the God part of us, to understand that I am responsible for what I experience, meaning that I have power in any given moment to change what I think. I can think anything I want to if I can be aware that I have the power to make that choice. And, you know, that's the catch. I have to know that I can make that choice before I can make that choice. And so I have to remember that. And that's really the whole point of raising our consciousness, because we don't know that we can make that choice until our consciousness is raised, and then we make that choice. That's just, it's kind of like a catch-22, but it really isn't, because the moment I remember that I can, then I can. And I am responsible for what I experience, meaning I'm responsible to change my mind and reframe what's going on with me in whatever way that I want to. And Lauren was just talking about how difficult that is to do when we are in fear, when we are in pain. And, you know, that's part of the human condition, is that we are in fear and we are in pain a great deal of the time. And so what do we do? The only thing that there is to do is to really just surrender. I mean, I think she said that so beautifully, that one of the ways she was working with the chemo was to understand that there were cancer cells dying with the chemo, and that's how chemo works, is it kills cancer cells. It also kills other cells in your body. And so what she was doing during chemo, along with listening to music and making music, is she was actually in a state of gratitude for the cells that were giving up their lives to help her continue her life. And so that attitude of making sacred even a process like chemo, I think, is a big part of what we're talking about when we're talking about surrendering the illusion of being in control. Because the truth is, we control nothing. What do you control? You don't control anything. You don't control the traffic or the ocean or the mountains or the sky, or you don't even control what you're thinking and feeling. It's like we control nothing. And yet, we have the power to be responsible. And all responsible really means is able to respond to anything that is going on in reality. We have a choice about how we respond. In other words, we have the ability to be response-able. And through that ability to respond in a way of our choice, we change what we experience. And, you know, Lauren told us the story that I just thought was amazing. She was in the hospital and really just in a horrible situation that was embarrassing, that was painful, that was humiliating. And it was just the grossest, terriblest situation she could imagine. And her mom started singing. And instead of just telling her mom to shut up, or instead of ignoring her mother, or instead of just being angry about the situation, she made a choice to start singing with her mother. And not only to start singing with her mother, but to actually harmonize with her mother, which is a big decision. And she said, when she did that, everything changed. And when I asked her what she meant by everything changed, she meant internally. She stopped feeling helpless. She stopped feeling like a victim. She started feeling empowered. And then everything sort of changed around. The situations externally became easier. And all the people that were working with her, from the doctors and the nurses to her friends and her family, were all supporting her in a way that she had never, ever experienced before. Personally, I don't think that could happen if she had not been supporting herself in a way that she had not been doing before. So I'm really hoping that everyone got a great deal out of this interview today. I certainly did. I'm just really struck by the idea of that sacrifice is sacred, that's actually the root meaning of that word, and that speaking our truth changes everything, especially, you know, if you feel like singing it, and you do, it can change everything literally from one moment to the next. And her answer, when she kept saying that over and over, if you heard that, that she kept asking, what am I to do with this? And what Spirit kept telling her was, have fun with it. And it's like, how in the world do you have fun with chemo or with cancer? Well, and that's been her journey, is to have fun with it. And so I want to leave everybody with that thought for a moment. I want to play one of my favorite songs from Here to Here. It's called Nobody is a Victim Here. And if there's anything that I sort of took out of this interview with Lauren on, you know, sort of the big picture, it was, we're never a victim. We are never, ever a victim. But we have to remember that we're not, to feel empowered. I'll see you back here in just a moment.
It happened to you. It happened for you.
Good thing to know. Nobody is a victim here. Emancipate yourself. I love that message. For any of you who are just joining us, my name is Reverend Louisa Dyer, and I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And our show every Wednesday is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And there is a Facebook page for this show if you'd like to interact. Tell us what you want to listen to. Tell us what you like about the show. Give any suggestions you'd like to for what you'd like to hear. And I'm also asking if you would like to tell a transformational story, something that has happened to you, an aha moment, then I would love to know what that is, and maybe we can share your story on the radio. We can either do that in person if you can, in the area and you want to come in the station, or we can do that by telephone if you want to do it that way. So you can get in touch with me through either my website, LouisaDyer.com, or through the Facebook page for this show. I also want to let everybody know that we are a public-supported radio station, and without your donations, then we do not stay on the air. So if you like the show, if you would like to support the show, I really would appreciate that. I want to thank all the people who have already done that, and you can do that by calling the station at 513-749-1444. While my show is on the air, that's wonderful. Or you can also call 513-961-8900, and you can make a pledge by phone. You can also do that online at the website for the station, which is waif883.org. You can make a pledge online for as little or as much as you want to. You can also contact me personally if you would like to, and I will walk you through whatever process is going to work better for you. And I thank you so much for all those donations, because it really does make a difference. It means I get to stay here, which I love. I want to let you know that nobody is a victim here. And it's like Lauren said in the interview a while ago, that it's about surrendering our personal will and asking, what is God's will for us? And sometimes we don't know what that is. We have to really surrender, and we have to listen to know what that is. But it's always, always, always something that is healing for us. It's something that is good for us. It's something that is going to take us further in our healing journey, in our spiritual journey, than anything ever has before. Because I personally think that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so whatever goes on in this human experience is about uplifting that spiritual awareness, that divinity that we are inside of us. And so that's what we're doing here every week, is finding out how to tap into the power that lives in that divine spark of life that's in our hearts. And I know that for me, that for you, that for everyone who is suffering or who has ever suffered, that we can come up and out of that suffering through surrendering to that divine power that's inside of us. And I know it's in you, just like I know it's in me and in every single person, because the second it is gone, the body is no longer what we call alive. The body is what we would now call dead. And so that's an important thing to remember. So I'm going to close out today with the theme song for the show, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. And this song will tell you, God is wherever you are, and everywhere you are, God is. And so that inner power that I'm talking about, it's always available. And so I hope you join me here again next Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. I want to thank you so very much for listening. And I want to thank Lauren Jane Powell for telling us her story today and inspiring us all with that. And again, her website is harmoniesofhealing.com if you want to hear more of her incredible music. And by all means, contact me through my websites or through the Facebook page for the show. And I will see you back here next week. Here is Faith Rivera singing God Is. Enjoy. Where I am.